Thank you, Lord Jesus. The more I'm studying on, well, the title is, I guess we've titled this, yes, Our Supreme Identity is 2020, but this is very serious. Mm-hmm. Ideas have great consequences. Ideologies, philosophies, theories. We've been preaching on it for years, I'd say at least the last 10 years. But I just don't think that the people of God really understand just how serious ideas and theories and philosophies are. We have two theories in the world, in society, that are basically taught as fact. The theory of evolution and the Big Bang theory. Those are just theories. Somebody thought it up. Motivated by Satan, and put it out there into the world. And now you have scientists saying that it can be scientifically proven, which is a lie. Let's not take lightly theories, thoughts, ideas. And I would say during this time of ethnic uprisings and unrest, there's been a lot of theories and ideas and ideologies and philosophies that have gone forth that the church is accepting. They don't understand that this is not of God. Psalm 119:24, by way of review, says, "Your testimonies are my delight. They, your word, is my counselor." Psalm 119:104, through your word, I'm substituting, and so you can understand, all of these are talking about the word. Through your word, I get understanding. And because I've gotten understanding through your word, then I, therefore, as a result, I hate every false way. We're not hating every false way. We are hating some false ways and accepting other false ways as if they were the truth. Amen. Hebrews lets us know that the mature eat solid food who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That we're failing miserably as a whole during this time. This time has been very, it's exposed Christians. It's exposed their trust in the Word of God. It's exposed their lack of trust, said I say, in the Word of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us. We're being led by emotion and guilt and so forth. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, mm-hmm. nor stands in the way of sinners, or sits seat of the scornful. Blessed is a man who makes the Lord his trust. He does not turn to the proud. Why would we turn to the world? But we're turning to the world during this time. To those who go astray after a lie. We've been lied to for years. And it was so smooth. Psalm 119, verse 10, with my whole heart I will seek you. Let me not wander from your word. Psalm 119, 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your word. 34, give me understanding that I may observe your word. Verse 36, incline my heart to your word. Father God, we need that. Oh, how I love your word. Your word is my meditation all the day. Through your word, I get understanding. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Word is a light to my path. Timothy 3:16, 2 Timothy, all scripture, all of the word is breathed out by God and profitable. It can show you how to get along with people. It can show you how to navigate through this time of unrest and pandemics. It's profitable for teaching, for proof, for correction, for training in righteousness. We are in a war. We're in the midst of it. And I, as I said before, I just really think that the people of God do not understand that all wars begin between the ears. It's just ideas and theories and philosophies. And they evolve into physical wars and slavery and hatred and prejudice and unforgiveness and being unloving, all because of ideas, ideologies. I mean, the word of God is not crazy. He calls it a war when referring to ideologies and arguments and reasonings. Have we caught on to that yet? In 2 Timothy, 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds or fortresses. You mean just a little idea or an ideology or a philosophy or a theory can become a stronghold, a fortress? Yes. Yes. All of this, ideas. The idea popped in Satan's head. Hey, you know what? I'm beautiful. I'm perfectly made. I can sing up a storm. I'm leading the choir. I am the anointed cherub that covers. I am that guy. And he was. The word of God says it. He led the heavenly choir. And he was lifted up in pride. It's the idea. Hey, you know what? I can be greater than the guy who created me. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Ideas are dangerous. We can think anything. This is war. And this is a hot battle right now. And we must be careful that we allow the Word of God and the Word of God only to navigate us through this war that is white hot. It's a war of ideas and ideologies and philosophies. Critical race theory, critical theory, cultural Marxist, white privilege, white guilt. It's all out there. Black Lives Matter, social justice, all of those. It's out there. It's thick. Even the word abortion is carefully chosen. It's another word for murder. We wouldn't choose the word murder. Chose abortion. Abort doesn't sound as bad. We bought that one too. We stopped last time right here in 2 Corinthians 10:5, saying that we are to destroy arguments, these theories, these philosophies, these reasonings, these lofty opinions. We ended with this statement last time that these days, arguments, theories, philosophies, reasonings, and lofty opinions come mostly from mass media, and in particular, the internet. I want to read to you an article that's apropos at this time. The name of the article is, Are Churches Losing the Battle to Form Christians? Form, meaning shape, mold. They're using the word form as our brothers back then used it, as in reformation. That's where the reformed comes in. Because the word of God at one time formed us, it shaped us, it molded us. And then back then we got off and we were out of shape. Our form was all broken down and something else was molding us. And thank God that the Lord God Almighty moved on men who gave their lives to reform us according to the word of God. Hence the word reformed. So think of it in that way when you hear the title, Are Churches Losing the Battle to Form Christians? I put that's the title in quote, I added form. So you can understand that form is shape and the mold. He said this is written by Brett McCracken of the Gospel Coalition. Brett McCracken of the Gospel Coalition. Among the many ways 2020 has been punishing, one of the most disheartening of the way COVID-19 has further accelerated the already troubling tendency of Christians being shaped more by online life than by church life and its formational practices. So what's happening is that what COVID has done is further accelerated because we've gone more online. He goes on to say, the digital age and more broadly our secular age has greatly expanded the horizon of ideas shaping Christians. I believe in not reinventing the wheel. If somebody's already said it just like I would say it, then I'll just let them say it. The church is increasingly just one voice among many speaking into Christians' lives. That is so true, and that's the problem. The Word of God has just become one voice among many voices, rather than being the voice among all the other voices. Are you listening to me? This has just become another voice. CNN, Fox News, social media, Twitter, the Bible, text messages, just like that, just on and on. Just one voice among all the other voices. It's a trick of the enemy. We need to be aware of that. Is the Word of God just another voice amongst all the other voices? For some it is, in some situations it is. Especially when it comes to race and social injustice and things of that nature, social justice. He goes on to say, a church's worship habits may occupy 2 hours of a Christian's week, but podcasts, radio shows, cable news, social media, streaming entertainment, and other forms of media account for upwards of 90 hours of their week. And I truly believe that. It may not be exactly, but certainly I believe that imbalance is certainly on point. 2 hours versus 90 hours. 3 hours versus 87 hours. However you want to do it. How can a few hours of Christian formation compete with the tidal wave of media rushing over people? It can't. That's why we're begging here at Word of Life. Get the word daily. You're getting the other stuff daily. And a lot of us are getting it in a tidal wave fashion. It can't match. Jesus warned, he goes on to say, Jesus warned that wolves would snatch and scatter the sheep, John 10, 12. Apostle Paul cautioned the Ephesian elders to be alert to the fierce wolves who would not spare the flock, Acts 20. For pastors, the wolf threat is not new. What's new is that in the internet age, any given sheep is vulnerable to literally millions of wolves whose overt or subtle dangers are only ever a few clicks away. It's impossible for any pastor to be aware of all the wolves. It's impossible for pastors to track the online activities of any one of their sheep, let alone hundreds of them. That's where I need you to be responsible to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And say, don't watch that. Don't turn on that. I can't be I'm not the Holy Ghost. I don't live inside of you. That's right. I'm not in your house. And even if I was in your house, I'm still not in your heart, in your house. Amen. The search goes on to say, the search bar is the spiritual battleground of our day. And yet it's largely hidden. And yet it's a largely hidden battleground where the fight for hearts and minds is waged in one-on-one combat. That's every day, people. And the Lord is exposing why we got blew out during the Rodney King, George Floyd thing. Before the meeting. All, he goes on to say, all of this is even worse in a pandemic because the unseen nature of the search bar battle is even more unseen. In quarantine, Christians have been driven yet further into a fully online existence, drinking from the often toxic well of internet discourse in ways that poison their souls. He's preaching so good. They call it clickbait. Have you ever heard that phrasing? Clickbait. You turn on the internet, something comes up that grabs your attention, you click on it. The bait is oh, that's interesting. Click on it. Click on this, click on that. I hope this helps you realize, you know what, I need to just be careful of what I'm clicking on. Mm-hmm. Let me think twice about that. Mm-hmm. Goes on to say, largely devoid of meaningful immersion in Christian formative practices, Christians are instead being formed in whatever online echo chamber they call home. He closes out. In the internet age, sheep have more opportunities than ever before to wander in all sorts of directions after shepherds they don't know, who don't know them, can't take care of them, and in many cases turn out to be wolves. Mm-hmm. End quote. When I tell you that this is serious, I'm hoping to God Almighty that you understand that this is serious. What can I do to get you to understand that this is serious? Amen. Don't ever let anyone tell you, it's not that deep. That's exactly where Satan wants you to be. That's no big deal. Mass media television shows, movies, popular music, magazines, websites, and other aspects of the mass media influence our political views, and they do. Our tastes in popular culture, and they do. Our views of women, and they do. People of color, and many other beliefs and practices are shaped by that. And you got to realize, you came empty. We were born with a blank slate. Everything we know, we've learned from something or someone. Think about that. All too often, we allow mass media to dictate our beliefs, our thinking, our formation of ideas, etc. That is the truth. Amen. For an example, something is considered to be prevalent or widespread in our society based upon the amount of attention and coverage that mass media gives it. If it's all over the TV, hey, it must be all over the world, all over the states, all over, it's happening in abundance. And we consider it not to be prevalent or not to be widespread based on, and think about it, when something is, we consider something to be widespread, happening all over, prevalent, it's not based on numbers, it's not based on statistics. Think about that. It's just based on simply the amount of coverage and attention that the media gives it. That's what I'm guilty of. Yeah, the media gives a lot of coverage. It must be happening all over. This is a big thing. Take, for example, you know where I'm going with it, racism. In particular, racism as it relates to violence toward blacks and other minorities. These next two articles, they're going to shake you up. I'm going to read you two articles. The title of the first one is Racist Police Violence Reconsidered, written by a black man, John McWhorter, McWhorter. The second article is Reflections on Race, Riots, and Police, written by a black man, Coleman Hughes of the Wall Street Journal. Not Christian, not that I know of, but I'm so glad that there's some black people who sounded like me. So glad. Very thankful. First article, Racist Police Violence Reconsidered by John McWhorter. Tony Timpa, spelled T-I-M-P-A, was 32 years old when he died at the hands of the Dallas police in August of 2016. He suffered from mental health difficulties and was unarmed. He wasn't resisting arrest. He had called the cops from a parking lot while intoxicated because he thought he might be a danger to himself. It's a good thing. By the time the law enforcement arrived, he had already been handcuffed by the security guards of a store nearby. Even so, the police officers made him lie face down on the ground, on the grass, and one of them pressed a knee into his back. He, meaning the officer, remained in this position for 13 minutes. Until he suffocated. During the harrowing recording of the final moments, he can be heard pleading for his life. The harrowing recording, oh, there's a video. Keep that in mind. He can be heard pleading for his life. A grand jury indictment of the officers involved was overturned. Not many people have seen this video, however, and that may have something to do with the fact that Temple was white. During the protests and agonizing discussions about police brutality that have followed the death of George Floyd under remarkably similar circumstances, it is too seldom acknowledged that white men are regularly killed by the cops as well, and that occasionally the cops responsible are black. As it happens, one of the Dallas police officers at the scene of Temple's death was an African American. There seems to be a widespread assumption that under similar circumstances, white cops kill black people, but not white people. And that this disparity is either the product of naked racism or underlying racist bias that emerges under pressure. That's what I've been taught. That's what they've been told me. Discussions I've had with others. That in the same situation, why do white cops tend to defuse with other white people? And we're just assuming that. Plenty of evidence. Say what? Plenty of evidence indicates, however, that racism is less important to understanding police behavior than is commonly supposed. This is a black man talking about this. Goes on. Temple was, of course, just one case and might be dismissed as an anomaly. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was reading the articles. Well, that's one. On the other hand, we are told that what happens to George Floyd is what happens to black people all the time. But because the killing of black suspects by white police officers receives more, here where I'm going with it, media attention and elicits more outrage, such instances leave us vulnerable. Had Tony Temple been black, we would all likely know his name by now. Had George Floyd been white, his name would likely be a footnote, briefly reported in Minneapolis local newspaper and quickly forgotten. In fact, white people are victims of police mistreatment all the time, too. And just as the Temple case tragically parallels the Floyd one, just as the Temple case tragically parallels the Floyd one, comma, there are countless episodes paralleling those we hear about involving black people. Here we go. 2014, John Crawford, black, was shot dead by police while waving a BB gun. In 2016, Daniel Shaver, white, was waving a pellet gun out of a motel window, suffered the same fate. Let me back up. The Tony Temple murder was on video. I didn't watch the video because I can't take those things. It was on video. Are you going to sit there and tell me that nobody in CNN, Fox News, nobody in the media knew about that death? You know they did. You know they did. Tony Temple's death happened in 2016, 4 years ago. Same exact way. Not resisting arrest, already handcuffed by the local police, the local security guard. Just put him in the car. Can you imagine Tony Temple's family? The Lord, I thank God, that's what love and compassion does. He had me to think about the Temple family. How blew out they must be. Like, wow, y'all making all this fuss about this dude? Rightly so, but what about my guy? That got no attention. They're rioting all over the world because the media has manipulated the masses. I sound a lot like Malcolm X and what's the dude that came after him? Yeah, the media is manipulating the masses. They didn't show Tony Temple. And it was on video. I keep saying that. It was on video. They did not show it. They chose not to show it. And so you see every time a black man happened, and we just started the parallels, the guy with the BB gun, the guy with the pellet gun. None of those are brought forth. 2015, Officer Michael Slager shot Walter Scott Black in the back. Killed him as he was running to evade a traffic ticket. The following year, Andrew Thomas White was shot in the neck by a police officer and killed as he climbed out of the SUV he had crashed trying to evade arrest. 2015, Sam Dubose Black was shot dead as he tried to escape a traffic summons in his car. The same year, Michael Parker White was shot dead in the same way while trying to escape a ticket for a moving violation. 2016, Philando Castile Black was shot dead in his car by a cop as he reached under his waistband for his license and a registration during a traffic stop. The same year, Dylan Noble White was shot dead under almost identical circumstances. 2016, Alton Sterling Black was shot dead in front of a convenience store as he was being detained for unruly conduct. The same year, Brandon Stanley White was shot dead in a convenience store for trying to avoid arrest. So the perception that the police regularly kill black people under circumstances in which white people would be merely disciplined is in fact a misperception. Your homework is to finish that article and look at the data, statistics. That's what's never mentioned. And I didn't even realize it till studying all this. We just hear it and we hear it and we hear it and we just get emotional. And you know, when you hear it and when you hear it and hear it and hear it and you're flooding it, I'm watching George Floyd's funeral in his hometown. I'm watching one over, I watched both of them. And you know, you're not gonna just feel, just you're gonna be feeling some type of way watching it over and over and over and over and over. And I'm thinking, when I read across it, I'm like, man, what in the world, Tony Temple? Somebody need to apologize to the Temple family. And I prayed to the Lord. I said, Lord, just as they put Derek Chauvin in prison, jail, and all three of them charged with second-degree murder, let them go back and open that case up for Tony Temple's family, if it be your will, and right that wrong. Somebody need to apologize to them and beg for forgiveness, because we totally ignored your son's death, or daughter, your son, your friend, your loved one's death. Completely ignored it. I can imagine how they're feeling. Like, man, you know, man, my dude died the same way. We got it on video right here. They don't want you to know. That's the devil. He's selling racism. He's selling it. I'm not saying there isn't racism, but not to the degree that they're saying it is. You ought to be shocked already, like, ain't that many people died? We heard about none of them. That's my choice. CNN didn't know, they didn't want to go. Fox News, NBC, ABC, CBS, nobody went. Because it's white on white. And children of God, that's another life taken who was made in the image and likeness of God. Second article, Reflections on Race, Riots, and Police by Coleman Hughes, a black man. This is in the Wall Street Journal. The article came out June 14th, 2020, 2 weeks after George Floyd's death, somewhere in there. The brutal death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police officers, has sparked protests and riots around the United States. We have witnessed humanity at its finest and at its ugliest. Citizens of faraway nations have expressed solidarity with Black Americans. Police officers have marched alongside protesters. Protesters have defended businesses against looting and destruction. At the same time, rioters have burned down buildings and looted businesses. Protesters have been pepper sprayed and beaten. Cops have been shot and run over with cars. At the root of the unrest is the Black Lives Matter movement, which began with the acquittal of George Zimmerman in 2013 and rose to national prominence in the wake of Michael Brown's death in 2014. My view of Black BLM is mixed. On the one hand, I agree that police departments too often have tolerated and even enabled corruption, true. Rather than relying on impartial third parties, departments often decide whether to discipline their own officers, true. The legal doctrine of qualified immunity sets what many say is an unreasonably high bar for civilians bringing civil rights lawsuits against police officers and qualified immunity. True. Body cams are not yet universal. In the face of police unions that oppose even reasonable reforms, Black Lives Matter seems a force for positive change. In that narrow view, I say yes. Because some things do need to be revisited. On the other hand, from this Black man who does not go to Word of Life and is probably not saved, listen to this. On the other hand, the basic premise of Black Lives Matter that racist cops are killing unarmed Black people is false. There was a time when I believed it. I was 1 year younger than Trayvon Martin when he was killed in 2012. And like many Black men, I felt like he could have been me. I was the same age as Michael Brown when he was killed in 2014. And like so many others, I shared the BLM hashtag on social media to express solidarity. By 2015, when the now familiar list had grown to include Tamir Rice, Laquan McDonald, Sandra Bland, Freddie Gray, and Walter Scott, I began wearing a shirt with all their names on it. And we know all of those names for the most part. It became my favorite shirt. It seemed plain to me that these were not just tragedies, but racist tragedies. That's what I'm believing too. Any suggestion to the contrary struck me at best ignorant and at worst bigoted. My opinion slowly changed. I still believe that racism exists, and I do too. So let me make that clear. And must be condemned in the strongest possible terms. I do too, because it's in violation of God's word. It's sin. Amen. I still believe that on average, police officers are quicker to rough up a Black or Hispanic suspect. I still believe that. My brother Paul is FBI. Lance Cocroft here, sitting with his wife at the Strawberry Festival about 2 years ago. He's in a nice Jag, though. Maybe the car was, maybe he didn't see the age. My brother, almost 60. Police officer came over, tapped on the window, rolled the window down, and taking machine license and so forth and so on. And he did. And of course, whenever he shows them his license, he puts in his FBI badge, shows them all. Of course, when they saw it, okay, he goes, thank you very much. Thank God for my brother. He stepped out of the car as officers returned to their car, two white officers. He stepped out of his car, Cocroft. And he motioned the officer back. And he admonished them, Mr. Chris. He said, man, y'all, we trying to improve relations between us and y'all. And you come to pull this? Well, we thought we smelled. Man, I ain't ever smoked no weed in my life. You don't even smell nothing over here. What you talking about smelling something? What's your PC? Probable cause. There was none. So, yes, I know that. But that doesn't mean, though, that it's all over and happening to everybody. But I do still believe that they're quicker to rough up one. I still believe that police misconduct happens far too often and routinely goes unpunished. I do. He says, but I no longer believe that the cops disproportionately kill unarmed black Americans. Two things changed my mind, colon. Stories and data. And I think when we finish, we just got to the stories there, but stories and data. First, the stories. Each story in this paragraph involves a police officer killing an unarmed white person. To demonstrate how commonly this happens, I have taken all of them from a single year, 2015, chosen at random. Timothy Smith was killed by a police officer who mistakenly thought he was reaching into his waistband to grab a gun. The shooting was ruled justified. That sounds a lot like black folk. Reaching into his waistband, oh, boom, it's a white person. William Lemon was killed after he allegedly failed to show his hands upon request. The shooting was ruled justified. Ryan Bollinger was shot dead by a cop who said he was moving strangely and walking toward her. Wow. The shooting was ruled justified. It's all white, white. Derek Cruise, spelled C-R-U-I-C-E. I'm thinking it's like juice and Cruise, Derek Cruise, was shot in the face after he opened the door for a police officer serving a warrant for drug arrest. The cops recovered marijuana from the property and the shooting was ruled justified. Daniel Elrod robbed a dollar store and when he was confronted by police, allegedly failed to raise his hands upon request, open parentheses, though his widow, who witnessed the event, insists otherwise, close parentheses, that just sounds like black folk, he was shot dead, no criminal charges were filed. Ralph Willis was shot when officers mistakenly thought that he was reaching for a gun. David Cassick was shot twice in the back by police officers while lying face down on the ground. Wow, doesn't that sound familiar? You mean 60 maybe? Did you leave out a zero? No, it's written out, S-I-X. Six-year-old Jeremy Martis was killed by a police officer while sitting in the passenger seat of a car. The officer intended target was Jeremy's father, who was sitting in the driver's seat, according to this, with his hands raised out the window. There's your hands up, don't shoot. By the way, you know that wasn't true with Michael Brown. That was a lie. I don't know if you know that or not. When the hands up, don't shoot started, they said that was a lie. Here's your real hands up. Don't shoot. Hand out the window. And his six-year-old is killed. Autumn Steele. We're not going to leave the white women out either. Autumn Steele was shot when a police officer, startled by her German Shepherd, immediately fired his weapon at the animal, catching her in the crossfire. It was on body cam footage. The officer, you can hear his despair. I am blanking going to prison, he says. The officer was not disciplined. Stories, he said, for brevity's sake, I will stop there. But the list goes on. That wasn't just 1 year, part of 1 year. Those are just 9 stories. He said, for brevity's sake, I'll stop here. But the list goes on. For every black person killed by the police, there's at least one white person, usually many, killed in a similar way. The day before cops in Louisville barged into Breonna Taylor's home and killed her, cops barged into the home of a white man named Duncan Lemp, L-E-M-P, killed him and wounded his girlfriend who was sleeping beside him the day before. If this
doesn't wake you that we're being manipulated by the media, then I don't know what will. Do you think they knew about the day before? I mean, I don't put it past them. I think they probably got scanners in their station ready to hear. Hey, man, let's get to that story. They got stuff watching all over the thing, so they're trying to get there first. They're making a conscious decision. No, we're not going to bother that. We want to promote racism. We want to promote division. We want to promote hatred. Because the devil loves division. Let's just tear this country up. And they're over blowing up things through media, cause all the riots. Just think about it. Because you saw it, and you got mad. Like, here we go again, man. The day before. He and his man too. Even George Floyd, whose death was particularly brutal, has a white counterpart, Tony Temple. Just read it. Tony Temple was killed in 2016 by a Dallas police officer, used his knee to pin Temple to the ground, face down for 13 minutes. In the video, you can hear Temple whimpering and begging to be let go. After he lets out his final breaths, the officers began cracking jokes about him. Criminal charges initially brought against them were later dropped. He says, at gut level, it is hard for most people to feel the same level of outrage when the cops kill a white person. That's a problem. But it's real. Now, for Christians, it shouldn't be. But for the rest of the world, that's a problem. He's just being real talk. I ain't showing that. That ain't nothing. They know more than we do. That happens all the time. Unless you go and dig out this stuff, you got to find this. It's not sitting on the top out there. Hey, look at this. He said, but I would submit that if this new anti-racist bias is justified, if we now have a moral obligation to care more about certain lives than others based on skin color or based on racial historical blood guilt, then everything I thought I knew about basic morality and everything that the world's philosophical and religious traditions have been saying about common humanity, revenge and forgiveness since antiquity should be thrown out the window if that's what we're going to do. And that's what I've been trying to say. I'm like, we're valuing lives based on who killed them. So if a white guy killed George Floyd, then we blew out about it. But when a black guy kills a black guy in the hood, we don't have an outrage. That's a problem. So we're valuing, he's right, that this is not even a Christian saying the same thing. He said, well, then I'm messed up. We're going to value life based on how they died and who kills who? As children of God, we better not be a part of that mindset. When Raekwon kills Tay-Tay in the street, that is as horrible as when Floyd, a white, kneels on another white. Yes, because they're all made in image and likeness of God. He said, I got to throw everything out the window. He said, that's the case, then I'm messed up. He said, you might agree that the police kill plenty of unarmed white people, but object that they are more likely to kill unarmed black people relative to their share of the population. I've always believed in that. He said, that's where the data comes in. First were the stories and then the data. Nobody takes the time and shows the data, the statistics. And the statistics prove otherwise. said the objection is true as far as it goes, but it's also misleading. To demonstrate the existence of a racial bias, it's not enough to cite the fact that black people comprise 14% of the population, but about 35% of unarmed Americans shot dead by the police. So they're 40% of the population, but they are 35% of the shot dead by the police. He said, by that logic, you could prove that police shootings were extremely sexist, by that logic, by pointing out that men comprise 50% of the population, but 93% of unarmed Americans shot by cops. You just got, see, what he says is, instead, you must do what all good social scientists do, control for a confounding variable, and worry about that, to isolate the effect that one variable has upon another. In this case, the effect of a suspect's race on a cop's decision to pull the trigger. Now he's narrowed it right there. Instead of this broad thing. See, BLM is, they shooting us dead in the streets. And did I tell you about Zambia? Did I tell you about Rodney Baku, Zambia police? No. In Zambia, they're so crooked, you got to pay them to come to your house. Somebody breaking the house, they don't ever come to you. You got to go to them, bribe them to come to take care of your situation. That's how crooked Zambia is, where Vodi Bakum is. In Zambia, they are shaking their heads at police here in America. Because the word out in the international community streets, if you will, is that white cops are shooting black men dead, hunting them down, and shooting them like animals in the streets. That's the word out there. Narrow it down. The effects of a suspect's race on a cop's decision to pull the trigger. Now we got it here. Now, four studies have been done concerning that. None of those studies have found a racial bias in deadly shootings. See, you will never hear that on no news anywhere, none, ever. Four different studies. One by a black guy at Harvard, one by an Indian, Sunhill Melanathan, David Johnson and a group, and a group of public health researchers. Four different studies, none of those studies. He said, of course, that hardly settles the issue for all time. As always, more research is needed. But given the studies already done, it seems unlikely that future work will uncover anything close to the amount of racial bias that BLM protesters in America and around the world believe exist. It's a lie. Yeah. All of which makes my view of Black Lives Matter complicated. If not for BLM, we probably would not be talking about ending qualified immunity, making body cams universal, increasing police accountability, and so forth. At least not to the same extent. In fact, we might not even have a careful national database on police shootings. At the same time, the core premise of the movement is false. And if not for the dissemination of this falsehood, social relations between blacks and whites would be less tense, trust in police would be higher, and businesses all across America might have been spared the looting and destruction that we have seen in recent weeks. When I tell you that an idea and a statement has power, it does. Black Lives Matter went viral all over the world. And attached to it was the killing of black men by police is at an all-time high. He said, in a perfect world, I would love to see the yearly number of unarmed Americans killed by police decrease from 55, the number in 2019, to zero. But the more I think about how we would achieve this, the less optimistic I am. We're talking about a woman who's not a Christian. At a glance, copying the policies of nations with very few police shootings seemed like a promising path. But on closer inspection, one realizes how uniquely challenging the American situation is. And it is. First, America, he said, is a huge country, and the population is the third largest, 335 million, something like that in America. If you have shootings of 200 or 300 with 300 million people, that's bound to happen. He said shootings, he said, that means the extremely low probability events, such as police shootings, will happen much more frequently here than they do elsewhere. For instance, if America were the size of Canada, but otherwise identical, about 6 unarmed people would have been killed by police last year. So Canada has 35 million. America has 335 million. So just the size of it would have just gone up, you know. Secondly, America's a gun country.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Which makes policing in America fundamentally different than policing in other nations. When cops pull someone over in the United Kingdom, where the rate of gun ownership is less than 1/20th the American rate, they have almost no reason to fear that the person they've stopped has a pistol hidden in their glove compartment. That's not true in America. Where a cop gets shot just about every day. I want you to read that article, because that phrase, where a cop gets shot just about every day, that's a live link. I clicked on there, and it takes you to the cops shot by month, shot or killed by month. I just did 2019. I just did 1 month. In 1 month, in December of 2019, 32 officers were shot or killed in 1 month. So far this year, 280 cops have been shot or killed in 2020. Nobody telling you that. There's almost as much police shootings as there are the shootings of folks. Nobody saying that. Can you imagine how horrible they feel? Defund the police? Man, I'm being shot every day. I'm being shot at basically every day. There are 31 days in December. 31 days in December. 32 cops were shot or killed in December in 1 month. It averages out to one a day. That's what he says, just about every day. So long as we're a gun country, American police will always be liable to mistake a suspect's wallet or smartphone for a gun. And we will not be able to legislate that fact away, at least not completely. Because folks got cell phones. We're in a gun country. The third and final factor, not unique to America, is that we live in a smartphone age, which means that there are millions of cameras on the ready to ensure that the next police shooting goes viral. Overall, this is a good thing. It means that cops can no longer reliably get away with lying about their misbehavior to escape punishment. And that the claims of those accusing police in such situations will face objective video scrutiny. But it also means that our news feeds are perpetually filled with outlier events presented to us as if they were the norm. That's the problem. You get a video, and if it's just the right mix, which is white cop, black guy getting killed, it goes there and it's presented. It's an outlier, means a thing or a person or a fact that is very different from other people or other things or facts, so that it cannot be used to draw general conclusions. It's a completely different thing. This is an anomaly. It doesn't happen as often as the news is saying that it's happened, and that as BLM is saying as often as it happens. So that's the negative part of having cell phones, because it feeds into what the problem is. He said, in other words, we could cut the rate of deadly shooting by 99%. But if the remaining 1% are filmed, then the public perception will be that shootings have remained steady. Isn't that something? Think about that. If it dropped, we wouldn't know it. Because once it happens, it's all over the news. And it is the public perception more than the underlying reality that provokes riots.
Well, you get the picture. Ma'am. He said the political right has a role to play as well. He said that he, I love how I give like some assignments. He said Americans on the left need to realize that deadly police shootings happen to blacks and whites alike. That's what the left need to realize. As long as critical mass of people view this as a race issue, they will see everything, every new video of a black person being killed as yet another injustice in a long chain dating back to the Middle Passage. That sentiment, when it is felt deeply and earnestly, will reliably produce protests and destructive riots. And that's it. It feeds into that. However, the political right has a role to play as well. Far too long, All Lives Matter has been a slogan used by only has been a slogan used only as a clapback or response, a harsh response to Black Lives Matter. What it should have been and still could be is a true movement to reduce the number of Americans shot by the police on a race-neutral basis, because it's a problem. If the challenge for the left is to accept that the real problem with the police is not racism, the challenge for the right is to accept that there is a real problem with the police. Coleman Hughes, Wall Street Journal. When I tell you that we've been hoodwinked, bamboozled.
Papa, what is it? You ain't selling me no pork and, what you say about pork and gravy? Is that what you said, Papa?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, they done sold us a pork and gravy by buckets.
The media manipulates. We've heard it for years. I've heard this for years and years and years, but I see it more than ever before. And I thank God as a pastor, I thank God that I see it and telling you, now you got responsible, be responsible. Okay, I hear, I see you, but I'm going to play on that.
Cut that TV off.
Yeah, that's the best thing. I mean, it's truly a brainwashing. They're selling. The devil loves division. Hey, y'all know that. I mean, he loves division. He loves just to tear things up. This is on purpose. It's calculated. He's the god of this world system. Well, the mass media broadcast system, he's the god of, and he's controlling it beautifully. And he's just so happy. I got division. I got people tearing up the stores, burning down things. And I even got some of God's people, white evangelicals, who in the church say, well, man, you know, we just got to let it, you know, hey, you know, I understand it. No. Rioting is sin. Violence is sin. We'll stop there because we're really just getting started into why all of this is. Verbum mentioned critical theory, critical race theory, cultural Marxism, social justice, racism itself, anti-racism. I knew that one, that sounded real different on what's going on with that one. White privilege, white fragility, white guilt, Black Lives Matter, etc. We're going to get into that behind it, why the climate. And they have created this kind. The critical theorists, cultural Marxists, they've created this climate successfully. Successfully. It's crept into the church, unfortunately, successfully. I'm talking about into evangelical churches. And as I'm learning, I'm trying to educate my black brothers and sisters in Christ. But I'm learning that my white brothers and sisters are all messed up. The guilt, the shame, and their way of dealing with it is not biblical. They think they are. They don't mean to be. Their heart is right. I ain't gonna feel this way no more. I'm gonna do what I gotta do. And they're reading the wrong books. They're doing the wrong thing. It has caused tremendous division in the church. We'll pick up next time. Father God, you are just that, our Father. We look to you in the midst of all of these lies, yes, and deception and deceit. Yes, we look to you, the God of truth. Thank God that you said in John that I'm going to send you another comforter and he will guide you into all truth. And you called him the Spirit of truth. Thank you, Lord. In this sea, ocean of lies, and in this ocean of deception and trickery and chicanery, deceit. Thank you, you are the truth. And it gives new meaning for me personally that forever, oh Lord, your word is settled. It doesn't change based on nothing. Yes, it is my delight all the day. Certainly not these doggone newspaper, news and newspapers and mass media. They are my delight. Your word is. Thank you, Lord. Oh, how I love your law. Is my meditation all the day. Thank God for the truth of your word to settle and cut through all this mess. Yes, sir. In Jesus' name, amen.